Open your Bibles with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 25. I read this quote earlier in the week, and I thought it was appropriate for our time together this morning. So, husbands, listen up. It's by a man named John Wilmot. I have no idea who he is, but it seemed appropriate. Whenever you preach, be sure that you lift the Savior high and lay the sinner low. Husbands. So buckle your seatbelts, gentlemen. We're about to dig into what God expects of you as a husband. We all have work in this area, so there shouldn't be one toe left unstepped on when I'm done. I've done all the stepping on mine earlier, I promise. There is a horrible joke going around these days, and it goes something like this. Don't worry, kids, it's not bad in that sense. The wife says, "You never tell me you love me." The man responds, "I told you I loved you the day we married. If anything changes, I'll let you know." We might smile at the idiocy of such a statement, but the reality should come along right behind that makes us pause. Is that what we have done, or is that what I have done to my wife? Have I essentially told her I loved her and ignored her from then on? Some of you have. Is that what the Bible has commanded you as a husband to be to your wife? While we've been going through the imperatives or the commands of Ephesians these last few months, we've been coming back again and again to this idea of turning who you are in Christ into how you live in this world. So tell me, husband, do you love your wife like the child of God that you are, or do you love her like the world does? In essence, she should just assume that you love her until you tell her different. By the way, that doesn't work for you, husband, so it would be far from self-deceit to think that it would work for your wife. No, that's not what it looks like. Jesus calls us to something far better, far beyond our ability alone to accomplish. And if I can say it this way, he calls us to something otherworldly. Husbands, the verses we're about to expound on are to me some of the most challenging in all of Scripture. These few verses are going to hit us where we live, and they are going to reveal in us a stunning lack of Christ-likeness that should be astonishing to anybody who even leads just a lightly examined life. Since that's the case, we should listen extremely close to the message that God's Word has for us today on what he expects us as husbands to be like. Well, let's pray first. Father, the men in this room, the husbands in this room, need a lot of help. We need your grace. We need your strength. We need your spirit. And we need to die to us. Father, we can only do that as we find you in your word, by your spirit, and we learn what you expect, and we go off and obey. And Lord, that is difficult for us, and we know that. We are laid low by passages like this, Father, so I ask that you would convict our hearts this morning and lift us up to do your work so that we will be what we already are. We ask all of this in your Son's great name. Amen. Verse 22 of Ephesians 5 through 24 talked about the wife's responsibility to submit or respect her husband. And I wanted to mention something about that before we get into our verses today as it pertains to the husband. Husband, does the fact that God commands your wife to submit to her own husband also mean that a husband should command his wife to submit as well? No. No, it doesn't. In fact, We have before us in verses 25 through 33 what your responsibility is to your wife, and nowhere in sight is there a reference to you being her Holy Spirit. Her lover, yes. Her Holy Spirit, no. And with that, a little bit of catch-up work. Let's dig into our text for the day in verse 25. This is what God's Word says. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The command, husbands, is to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Recognize something with me here. Look back on verses 22 through 25 and notice your wife's position in the metaphor. She's the church. She's supposed to act like the church acts. She has been put in a position of submission to authority. Now read your command again, husband. You are to be like Christ. You are to be the one in authority. You are to be the example to be followed. And God has not given you an easy task, but a deep theological word, gigundous undertaking, in that he commands you to be like him. He commands you to give yourself up for your wife. And please don't think that this merely means stepping in front of a bullet for her, because that's not the point. This is not a one-time act of giving up and you're free to go on your way. No. This is a lifestyle of dying to yourself. This is a lifelong yours and or hers commitment to giving up what you want for the sake of another. Christ gave up his life for you, and you are to give up your life for her. Can you see how much easier it would be for your wife to yield her will if your will were all about Christ's will for her? One more time. Can you see how much easier it would be for your wife to yield her will if your will were all about Christ's will for her? So what does giving up your life look like? It means whatever is on television tonight is not more important than your wife. It means that any and all extracurricular activities you might enjoy take a distant back seat to your wife. It means work should be done with her in mind first. Listen, fellas, if the constant chorus of your wife is, "Why aren't you home?" perhaps you need to reevaluate what you are doing and how much time you spend doing it. Are you spending all of your time at work because it's easier to lead the people there than it is to lead your wife at home? Is it easier to play nine holes than it is to help her with the kids all day? We want it to be practical, right? It's certainly easier to sit in front of the TV in a vegetative state than it is to talk with her and find out what she's thinking, doing, loving. What would happen in our wives' hearts if we spent the same amount of time thinking about God's Word and how it applies to our wives' strengths so we can encourage her, and her weaknesses so that we can patiently guide her in the way Christ would have us to do? In short, she would be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. Paul moves on to answer the obvious question of the reader. Why would you do such a thing as give up your life for your wife? What would be the reason for doing such a thing? Read verses 26 through 28 with me. This is what God's Word says. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You, again, are called to be like Christ. And he is at work setting his church apart, sanctifying her. You are to give yourself up for her, setting her apart. How? By cleansing her with the washing of water with the word. This does not mean that you can throw a bucket of water on her and a 25-minute devotional in the morning and you're done loving your wife for today. Picture it like this. We have two dear saints at the end of their journey here on earth. And the woman has had some health issue that has rendered her mostly helpless. And these two dear saints have lived with one another for a very long time. They love one another. He values her as no one else on earth. And he wishes nothing more than to serve his dear wife in the best way possible. So will he sit and watch as the dirt and grime of being alive mount up on his beloved? Will he wait and watch as the feces and urine bring rot to the body of his sister? Will he wait until bed sores and disease have devastated her? Or will he set the temperature of the room to what fits her need, gently remove her clothes each morning, while running warm water for her daily bath? He will gently caress his beloved, washing away any dirt that has mounted up from yesterday. He will lovingly dress her in the finest, most comfortable clothes that he can. She will not be forgotten or ill cared for, but she will be cherished and washed as the prize from his Savior that she truly is. Are you doing this with your wife? Are you washing her gently with the word daily? Are you patient and gentle, your loving kindness being what attracts her to you and brings about in her a submissive attitude that loves to be your helper? This is what a husband who loves Christ above all does. He takes the time that is needed to lovingly teach his wife what the Word of God says. He is patient when she doesn't get it the first, second, 15th, 30th time, just like Jesus is patient with him on the 50th, 60th, and 70th time he fails to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, that we husbands would rise up and care for our wives as Christ cares for the church. The world would not know what to do against the onslaught of gospel-centered praise from our wives alone. Let's go on with our illustration into verse 27. Will our husband, when God has taken his beloved home, leave her body to rot until it smells of the carcass smell is too much, and finally have it removed so that he can change the sheets and get back to sleeping in his own bed? Or will he go to the closet that still smells of her and pick out the most beautiful dress there? And having been given the privilege of dressing her once more, take the time to make sure the dress is spotless. And just so, that the folks who come to say their final goodbyes will have the best view of his beloved. When your wife leaves this world, gentlemen, how will she be dressed? Will she, as Jesus has done for you, be in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish on that day? Or will she be full of spots and wrinkles, with blemishes head to toe from neglect, a lack of spiritual care that would be appalling and perhaps criminal if it were physical? Husbands, that cannot be. That cannot be. You cry and whine that your wives don't submit, but fight and complain. And the reality is that they have never had a Christ-like example to follow. So what do you expect? You say, my wife is a disaster. If all your time and effort is spent at work and on your precious little hobbies, then you are merely reaping what you have sown. Some wives need more time and attention and work than others. I get that. The problem is you don't even know how much time she requires. Not only are you to wash her and dress her, to be present in the last day as Christ has the church, but here's the kicker, you are to love her as much as you already love yourself. Would you leave yourself to languish in a state of putrid self-denial? No. Of course you wouldn't. You would care for yourself. You would pick out a nice comfy chair to sit in, make sure the temperature is just right for you in the room, set aside enough money in the budget for whatever that hobby is, or the car you really want. Would you allow yourself to starve, or would you get up and fix yourself something yummy? Yes, wives, he would actually cook. If he had to. He does and would take care of himself well. Well, husbands, God expects you to take care of your wife at least as well as you take care of yourself. The reason for this will become clear at the end of the passage. But look down with me at verse 29 and we'll see what he compares our love of our wives to. This is what God's word says. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. What a glorious truth, fellas! We know we nourish and cherish our own bodies, and that's exactly what Christ has done for us. Think about this for a moment. You are to nourish, that is to feed your wife, and cherish, that's to cultivate her with care and affection. Do you see what this is saying? In some sense, your wife's growth and maturity are directly related to you. Just as our growth and maturity is directly related to Christ and his grace, if your wife isn't all that you thought she would be, maybe the problem's you. Think about it, men. Have you ever looked at another man's wife and thought, boy, I wish my wife acted like that? It's like the old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Well, why is that? Because the guy on the other side of the fence has been working hard all year long to love and to nourish and cherish his wife. And surprise, she's a godly woman. Paul doesn't stop there. Gets better. Why does Christ care for us? And in turn, why do we care for our wives? Because we are members of one body. Christ has made us part of his body, the church. And God has, verse 31, made your wife, you and your wife, one body. Remember what he said back in verse 28. He said, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You see it now? She is you. And you are her. God has made you one flesh, and your treatment of her and care for her is a reflection of how you care for yourself. Do you think Christ cares for you like you care for your wife? No. Then you have a lot of work to do. You are to look like Christ to her. You are to sacrifice it all for the sake of your body, for the sake of your beloved. And you want to tell me that it's just too difficult to deal with her on a daily basis. You have never been beaten, whipped, mocked, nailed to a cross, and taken the wrath of Almighty God upon yourself for your beloved, and yet the one who has called you to this commands you to love her as he loved you. What better thing could there be in your life, and yet you choose your hobbies? You choose to go play sports, and you badmouth her to your friends. Wake up. The evidence of your belief or lack of is lying in bed beside you. Does it look like belief in your bed? The greatest, if not obvious, point of all of this comes in verse 32. We read it, but let's do it again. Look at it. Verse 32. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Your marriage is to look like the gospel. If it doesn't, you have failed. And you need to repent of your sin and love your wife. Many of you like to talk about theology. You like to talk about how Christians should be changing culture. You like to talk about the latest theological argument in the blogosphere. But it's all for nothing if when your neighbor looks through the front window of your home, it looks like a bombed out city with souls just lying dead all about. Our marriages, gentlemen, are supposed to look like the gospel. No one would question our faith if our marriages screamed Jesus to them when they saw us with our wives. Hey, they might even not know what the gospel is, but that profound mystery should be a little bit clearer to them when they see you give up your life for the one under your authority. As they see you care for her in a way that can only be explained as otherworldly or supernatural. Men, you have the opportunity to share the gospel with your wives, with your children, with your neighbors, and to the ends of the earth by loving your wives. You are commanded to, and you must not fail. Turn who you are, the bride of Christ, into how you live, being Christ to your bride. And show the world Jesus in a way that they cannot scoff at and disregard. In verse 32, Paul does what we've seen him do before in this letter. He comes down from the heights of the gospel back to an earthly reminder to husbands and wives. God's word says this in verse 32. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Paul is about to talk to the children about their responsibility, and he prepares the adults and the family for this talk as he wraps up his talk with them by giving them this gentle reminder. Yes, this is all about Christ and the church. This is all about profound mysteries and heavenly realities. But don't lose sight of reality when you wake up next to your spouse, who probably has bedhead, morning breath, and may be in for a tough day spiritually. Husbands, love your wives as you would love yourselves. And wives, respect. Be respectful to your husbands. For in these things, in these everyday things, we reveal Christ to the world. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you face what I would say is an impossible task. God has commanded you to love your wife as Christ loved the church, but you have no way of doing so. You are helpless without Christ, and you can know nothing of His self-sacrificial love for His church because you are a stranger and an enemy of God. You may not have even known what was required of you until now, but you will still be held accountable for these things on the day of judgment. You are without excuse, and the task at hand is far too large for you to handle alone. You have but one choice to make, and only one. You must decide today whether you will surrender your life, your will, your everything to King Jesus, the great lover of the church, or walk out of here and continue to fail your wife and be an enemy of God, heaping judgment upon yourself every moment of every day. Don't. Christ gave His life for the church and made it possible for you to be free from every spot, wrinkle, and blemish of sin. He has provided a way for you to be part of His body. Come to Him. Come to Him today and live. And believing husband, all of us sit here today with at least a mountain of work to do in our marriages. And if you're sitting here today thinking that Tom, Dick, and Harry have a lot of work to do in their marriage, you have missed the point. And your pride has blinded you to the truth that you are but a man in need of grace that's been given by Christ to love your wife. You won't ever be the perfect husband that Scripture calls you to be, but your perfect Savior will bring you closer and closer as you die to yourself and give your wants and desires to Him. Remember our story about the old couple, gentlemen? This should be you with your wives. Wash them in the Word. Prepare them for the day they meet our Savior. And show Christ to a dying world by loving them as He loved His church. It is a tall, tall order, and God will be faithful to give us the grace to fulfill that order. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for the command to be to our wives what You are to us. And Lord, thank You for the grace to fulfill, to obey that command. You never give us or tell us what to do that You don't give us the ability to do. And I pray, Father, where we see that we haven't, we would repent. We would turn away from our sin and we would obey You. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these husbands and wives here. Pray that You give them grace together. In Jesus' name, amen.